Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by Wynn Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WynnSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Oh! Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out. Move to the music, play like music, move it to the music.
Welcome to Monday Night Rollins.
Woo!
Yo ho ho and a bottle of Dom.
Bro.
The new day. Let me talk to you.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the deeper dumps.
Move to the music, play like music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States
of Downtown Bear Americas. And I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. He's a scientist. He's an architect. He's an inebriator in an era which it is great to be awesome. It is none other than DPP.
We may have to expand the United States now that with pay-per-views being all over the world more. Can you be the commissioner of more than just the United States?
What are you, like, my people that work above me just continually giving me more work for doing a good job? You can go fuck yourself.
You don't have to, there's no more work. What more work is there going to be? What else is there to do?
Hey, here's a reward. You get to do all this shit, too. You get a great job at the other shit you're doing.
Yeah, let me give you more. No more money.
Fuck you, fuckball. Oh, DP, it is good to be here pre-Labor Day weekend. I am so looking forward to this three-day weekend. You got a four-day weekend. You are all up on it right at this very moment. We got some fun plans. Yeah.
That's not a four-day weekend, sir.
Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, eleven, twelve.
That's Labor Day. Labor Day started today, baby.
You're off today.
Off tomorrow. Two-day weekend. Monday off. Tuesday off. I'm counting 6 days. Let's talk about it. And a bachelor.
I was happier before. I was happier before you told me all that bullshit.
Allow me to piss all over your parade.
Oh, you can't ruin my fucking day. Yeah, and big party at the Generals on Sunday should be a good time. Likely see Satchel McFlippins as well. I'm guessing there'll be lots of drinkings, and that's fine. Folks, you can tune in tomorrow after Bastion Berlin to hear myself and DJ and possibly any others that would like to join us for a instant review of Bastion Berlin. That'll be up on Chairshot Radio Network within an hour and a half of the end of the pay-per-view. A couple other notes. Chairshot NFL is back. You can listen to that every Thursday on Chairshot Radio Network. Myself and the IWC War Chief Andrew Belaz, our preseason picks, who we like in each division to win, our playoff teams, our Super Bowl picks, who we're looking to have a good season, a bad season, and everything in between. So that is going to be every single Thursday to get you ready for every single week of the NFL this year. We may have guests one week. We may not have guests the other week, but you'll get me and Andrew for sure, possibly a Ray Cash sighting, maybe a DP sighting as you get towards the playoffs. Who knows what's going to happen on Chairshot NFL. So glad to let you know that that is back. Down the Wire should be back next week. Tom and Dave should be back as well. And thanks, everybody, who's been listening to The Oddity. Folks, you know what we're talking about here today. It's Bastion Berlin. We're actually going to have a Bastion Berlin sandwich with two McMahons as the bread. Right now, you're listening to DWI 446, DP and PC, the original OGs of the Chairshot Radio Network right here. And don't forget about the chairshot.com. Always use your head and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Plenty of great t-shirt designs, plenty of fun designs that'll get you noticed. You don't just have to get it in a t-shirt. You can get it in a tank top, a long sleeve, or a hoodie, or get it in soft style. Feels good on your nipples. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. DWI 446 will be right back after this.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
thechairshot.com. always use your head.
DP and I are not alone. Welcome back from break, and just in the nick of time, because I know he wants to talk about everything that we're getting into today. You heard the soundbite. It's none other than the man from the Attitude of Aggression podcast, the Big Five Project and Bandwagon Nerds. It is our best friend of the podcast, one Dave Ungar.
Big Five Project, most popular show on the Chair Shot Radio Network, apparently. And it's all because DP was on there. That is exactly what I... You are...
Don't encourage him. Don't encourage him.
Just join stop. Me. Join me for WrestleMania 20.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
He shows up every 10 years of the project.
Just before you show up again, you asshole.
Well, you know.
I hope you'll be a regular part of the project going forward. Or at least semi-regular. Kind of like a bowel movement, but better. You know?
Good luck with that.
Ooh. I'll let you know. Tell me when the next good pay-per-view is.
Actually, 94 is not that bad. So,
yeah. So go back, check out everything we've been doing on the Big Five Project. Currently just did WrestleMania 10, double watch long, Bret Nolan and Razor and Shawn in the infamous ladder match. But this week, like I told the folks, Dave, we're having a Bash in Berlin sandwich, and the bread is a pair of McMahon's. So to start this off today, I want to read you guys a little clip of an article from Variety. The series titled Mr. McMahon will debut on September 25th on Netflix. It consists of 6 one-hour episodes. Here's the official synopsis. Mr. McMahon chronicles the rise and fall of Vince McMahon, controversial businessman and co-founder of WWE. From his transformation of the WWE from a small regional business into a global entertainment powerhouse, the explosive sexual misconduct allegations that led to his eventual resignation, this 6-episode series offers a deep dive into McMahon's life and his enduring franchise. Culled from over 200 hours of interviews with McMahon himself prior to his resignation, his family members, business associates, and some of the most iconic names in wrestling history, as well as the journalists who uncovered McMahon's allegations. Filmmaker Chris Smith from Tiger King fame and executive producer Bill Simmons present an unflinching, no-holds-barred look at one of the most enigmatic figures in sports entertainment. Dave, you brought this to everybody's attention today on Chairshot thread and on the Bandwagon Nerds thread.
You're welcome.
You messaged me personally and said, here you go, Tony. I got your first topic tonight. What are you thinking of this? Give me your feelings and thoughts as we're less than a month away from this starting on Netflix.
Yeah, it sure is interesting how they're going to do this, right? I mean, you've got 200 hours of interviews with Vince McMahon. You've got a lawsuit pending. All this stuff's going to be out there for everybody to see. I'm surprised no one's tried to stop it. I'm sure they're paying Vince pretty handsomely for these appearances, which probably isn't a bad thing. But yeah, I hope it's not just a fucking let's bash Vince for 6 episodes series. And it doesn't sound like it's going to be, because there's a lot more to him than that. And maybe that's the unwritten or unspoken, or, you know, maybe they've talked about it behind the scenes that, like, hey, look, Vince, yeah, the end's going to look really bad, but leading up to that is going to be painting you in the best light possible as this risk taker, this guy who took over the business from his dad, who had this vision to expand things globally, who created WrestleMania, who wiped out all the territories, started the Attitude Era, created superstars, multi-billion, so that when the merger comes, it's this massive thing, and yeah, at the end, we're going to shit on you. And Vince Varley like, well, I shit on somebody else, so it's all good. I think as wrestling fans, we're almost obligated to tune in, aren't we? I mean, you kind of have no choice but to watch it. And yeah, I've made the joke to a few people. It's like, nothing. I love a good old fashioned train wreck, and this one's going to be a good old fashioned train wreck. So sign me up. I already got Netflix. Umbrella Academy will be ending pretty soon. You know, Rings of Power is going to occupy way too much of my time. Got to find something else. Yeah, I know, Tony, you're thrilled. But yeah, I can't imagine it's just going to be 6 episodes of let's just shit all over Vince McMahon. I don't see that. That's not telling the full story. And, like, you know, you bring up the Big Five Project, and a key core component of that is Vince McMahon. You know, his booking decisions, the things that he's thinking about. Why did he go this way instead of that way? Like the last episode talking about, you know, his inability to pull the trigger on Lex Luger or Bret Hart until the very end, that sort of thing. So, yeah, as wrestling fans, I'm really interested to see what it's about. what sort of light they paint him in. But, you know, this whole notion that the journalist, we got the journalist who broke the sexual misconduct. It's in a fucking lawsuit. That's what broke the story. It's in a fucking law. You guys didn't break shit other than here's the complaint. Look at all this. So I find that misleading. But yeah, I think we got to watch it, right, guys? Got to.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to watch it. Like, I feel like, you know, they were talking about having a just Vince McMahon documentary anyway, right? Was supposed to be coming out, you know, just before this, all this stuff happened. And, you know, maybe this was it. Maybe this was part of that whole documentary they were going to do. And so they have all this stuff. They already, you know, it was going to be how he turned this business around and did all that stuff. And now maybe they add this stuff to the end of it because this stuff was already in the can. It wasn't anything to do with, it wasn't going to be just bash on him because of all the shit he was doing, but they obviously got to put that in, I think, at the end or whatever. But I feel like we're going to get what you were saying, Dave, you know, all the stuff leading up to all of everything he's done from taking the business over from his father and turning it into this ridiculous global icon industry. And we're going to see more of that stuff through most of the episodes. And then maybe at the end, him, you know, everything that happened at the end of the whole thing leading to his resignation. So.
And as it goes along, I'm sure we're going to get, you know, the steroid allegations, the trial, him beating the federal government. That's all integral to who Vince McMahon was, is still to this day. So it's going to be an enlightening show. But I tend to agree with you that, okay, this is the biopic they were going to do. And now they've just split it into six parts. And to do justice to the whole thing, they're like, all right, we got to go down this path. Yeah, Vince, you were great. So like four episodes will probably be everything leading up to the resignation. And then the last two, we'll probably be focusing on that. Or maybe just the last one.
It's the last one. We'll see. His downfall.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch it. And I'm going to come away from it the same way I've come away from the past few documentaries on some of the bigger names in the business. Namely, I think there was an HBO one on Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And I watched it and I went, yeah, they did a good job, but I didn't learn anything new.
None of them tell the full truth. You know, it's all,
yeah,
it's all perspective and how you're painting it. So
fans like us, and you could even call us historians.
Yeah.
I'm not excited. There's nothing new. I'm not going to learn anything new. The best thing I'm going to get is maybe McMahon's opinion on some of the things he's done inside of wrestling and why he did them. The stuff that's going to cover the downfall, you're not going to learn anything new. It's already all out there. And if you think Bill Simmons and the Tiger Goofball are the ones that are going to do this right, let me tell you something right now, as pointed out by Greg DeMarco. They couldn't even get their fucking graphic right. They used a boxing ring, and the guy Vince is puppeteering looks like himself. I completely agree with Greg once he pointed it out. I didn't really have time to look that closely today, but once he said it, I was like, yeah, holy shit, Bill Simmons, you're a wrestling fan. How do you not executive produce all the power in the fucking world and come out with that graphic? Yeah. I'm going to watch it. I'm not that excited about it. I'm excited because it's something more to talk about here. But as far as learning something new is what I like in a docuseries or documentary, for guys like us, it's going to be very minimal.
Now, I mean, what would be interesting is if they get like Hunter's opinion about what's going on, other than just the company line, or Stephanie or Shane or Cena talking, because they've all skirted the issue and not really addressed it. Now, if they've got something like that, where they're going to talk about it
prior to this, that's what they have. The post stuff, you're going to get any of those people. None of those people want to comment. All those people want to continue the success that they're having in their own worlds. Like, if you want to watch a fucking interview that's really good, go watch. And I've seen a lot of bits and pieces of it. Shannon Sharp interviewed John Cena. That's a great interview. You're going to get way more out of that than you're going to get out of this. This is all Vince McMahon controlled until they cover the downfall. And like I said, we already know all about it. I hate to sit here and shit on it, and I'm not necessarily doing that, but I'm trying to quell people's expectations before they come back and say exactly what I'm going to say. I knew all this already.
Now, if any of it's like filmed or produced in Jacksonville, then, you know, maybe you want to take a look and say, okay, is this a Tony Khan production?
Well, Shane McMahon going to show up at the end and go, I'm not.
We're going to get that at the end of the show. Don't talk about that yet.
Fuck if I know.
The McMahon sandwich, Bashin' Berlin sandwich with the McMahons as the bread.
There's more than two.
Is it like, you know, what kind of bread are we talking about? White? Well, if it's McMahon's, it must be brown. So wheat.
You wonder why I think I can just do this grain myself, folks. God damn it, you guys.
It's sourdough, right?
sourdough.
The sourdough sandwich. There's your episode.
TWI 6, the one about the bread. No, I mean, it's a fun discussion to have right now that we've gotten this broken down. And Netflix generally is releasing everything at once. I feel like this is going to be released weekly, though.
Maybe. I don't know. The other good thing is Netflix doesn't, most of their documentaries are usually pretty damn good. So you can count on good production value and it'll be good. It's just like you're saying, am I going to learn anything? Yeah, probably not.
I mean, and I guess this is me sounding like a little pretentious too, but like we know a lot more than even the above average wrestling fan. And just because we've immersed ourselves in it for so long. So like you said, Dave, it's going to be well done. It's going to be entertaining. I'm just personally saying, I don't think I'm going to learn anything.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I know you're looking forward to it more than The Witcher season 4. So there is that.
I could go eat a bunch of fucking nuclear wings and look forward to the shit I'm taking the next day than watching fucking Lock and Key or Witcher season 4.
Luckily, there is no season 4 of Lock and Key. But oh just for you, Tony, I hear they're considering it. No, just kidding.
Well, yeah. Hale's Corners man found strangling in his bedroom after watching Lock and Key season 4.
Poor bastard.
He wrote a note and said this was the only relief possible.
Yeah, the only way. Tony leaves a note. The only way out.
The only way to unlock my life.
Oh, God.
Crystal ball did it.
Yeah, crystal ball did it. So I think we pretty much covered everything there is to cover. We all gave our thoughts here on it, expectations. September 25th, Netflix. Best believe once it comes out, whether it's one episode a week or all at once, we'll be talking about it here on the DWI podcast and throughout the Chairshot Radio Network as well. So, DP, let's take our last commercial break and we'll give everybody the rest of the show commercial free. This is DWI 446 Chairshot Radio Network, PC Tunney, DPP, and the best friend, Dave Ungar. We'll be right back.
Now a word from my god, our sponsor.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, DWI 446 right here, ChairShot Radio Network. Let's get into it, folks. We got a afternoon pay-per-view across the pond. It's a bash in Berlin, Germany, that is. I got 5 matches on the card right now. I wonder whether or not another will be added, and maybe they'll have a pre-show match since they're doing 2 hours pre-show now, which I don't mind. I just don't turn it on until the show starts. Let's get into the card, though. The Unholy Union, I like that name, for Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, defending against Bianca and Jade. Title change here, DP?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, they had Bianca and Jade lose it to them months ago here. I just don't know if it's... I mean, I wouldn't mind a little back and forth, I guess, with the women's tag titles, but they haven't really done much of anything else, and it would sure be nice to have a team hold on to those titles for a little while and have some kind of good feud or make somebody look decent on that tag team division, because they I mean, we thought Bianca and Jade were going to kind of run it for a while, and then they didn't do that. So I don't even know what to think at this point with these teams. I like that they're making some teams, and it seems like they're trying to make it important, but it's still not far enough along that I care. And I'd like to see, I don't know, I just like to see somebody hold on to the titles for a little bit. So I guess I'll stick with Unholy Union. But I'm hoping for a good match. I mean, I just don't know. I don't know who's going to win.
Yeah, I think I'm with DP on this. You got two European girls in Berlin, right? And unlike a lot of these events, you figure like the Europeans are going to do pretty well, perhaps, at this pay-per-view. PLE, excuse me. And like DP brought up a good point. I really thought Bianca and Jade would run with these titles for a very long time. And that didn't happen for whatever reason. And yeah, they lost it in a triple threat match and all that sort of stuff. So it wasn't a straight up sort of thing. But I, you know, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to put, why would you put the belts back on Bianca and Jade? This is a good chance to make Alba and Isla Dawn, the Unholy Union, like stand out as tag team champions. And maybe this is where you start to build up some of this friction between Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, because I think that's coming, and maybe something happens in this match that furthers that whole thing along. So yeah, I think I'm with DP here. I don't see a title change coming here. I mean, a lot of my gut instinct says it should, if you're like saying, well, let's look at this. Obviously Bianca and Jade are just going to mop the floor with them, but I don't see it being that simple. So I'll stick with the champs on this one.
I like a title change here. And it's going to give you guys everything you just said you wanted. And here's what it's going to do. It's going to push off the split of Bianca and Jade. And it's also going to create maybe the first best rivalry in the women's tag team division if you end up having Fire and Dawn win the rubber match. Now we've created a rivalry. Now we've had a series. Now it feels like Hardy's, Dudley's, Edge, and Christian. We just need one more tag team. But you can't build these tag teams unless they win a series of important matches against these two colossal figures in Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair, which we know won't be together forever. But I think it's better for them to have these back and forth series that actually put these other tag teams over as their equals, if not better, as a tag team. Because once they split, they're gone from the division. That tag team is gone. If they just keep beating everybody and then split, they've created no other powerful tag teams in the division.
I'm with you. I mean,
I like it. The problem is there are no other powerful tag teams in the division.
Let's make
That's
some.
Why they need to stay there and make some. Why let's... couldn't they win this, have another couple of matches here, Dire and Dawn, you get a triple threat, you bring in other people. I just think it's easier to make tag teams when you have these two colossal figures, especially a Bianca Belair, who has been forgotten as one of the best women's wrestlers in the world right now.
And Jade trying to establish herself as not a laughingstock, you know?
As someone who is more than competent in the ring. She's got the look. She's got the personality. She can, I think she can talk just fine if they do it the right way. It's just she needs to be able to help carry a match, a singles match. And they gotta wait to get her there by keeping this division together with them there. I see like the split coming at like, you know, they lose the titles. They win here. They lose again. Then Isla and Dawn lose to the third team. Then they win them. Then they lose December. They're both in the Rumble. Then they kind of split there. And now they have the Mania match. Something like that. For me, I'm obviously completely wrong, but this is what I would.
Maybe you're right. I don't know. Maybe you're
fine.
Right.
Be certainly be fine with me. Like I was saying, I mean, I'd like to see some back and forth at least to make some decent tag teams and make the division credible again, but it just, I'm wary on that because they still have yet to do it. And, you know, I still don't care at this point about the women's tag team division, which is unfortunate.
No. It's just never gotten traction It just never has.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we'll keep moving here. Here's something that has a ton of traction. CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre in a strap match, DP. CM Punk finally get his first W in the WWE upon his return.
Well, you know, I think this is the time. I mean, the rubber match, you know, they got to have another one, I think, after this. So,
bad blood.
You know, this would be the perfect opportunity for Punk to win it. You know, whether or not he gets his, you know, fancy bracelet back or they put that on a poll for bad blood. We'll find out.
Bracelet.
But I'm still.
Fancy bracelet on a poll match.
Going for it. Bracelet on a poll match. We're going to have it at bad blood. That, you know, to me, that's the perfect thing. Like we were just saying, right? You got to have some back and forth. You know, those type of feuds are great. Most of the time, that's what they do. You got to have at least three matches, have the rubber match, have the, you know, good guy go over or whatever. I think Punk's winning this thing here and we're on to bad blood, but this should be a fun match. I'd be interested to see if they hold off or if they start doing any kind of blood. Or if they wait till bad blood to have a first blood match, but this feels like where they could maybe do it and start to bring some of that back in. Cause I feel like that's coming and this could be a nice brutal match to make that happen.
I don't know necessarily that either of them have to bleed facially or head wise, because you're going to see a ton of fucking welts all over both of their bodies with this gigantic strap on. I mean, strap. Oh. Dave,
strap on.
What?
Excuse me? We got a strap on match.
What the hell?
Strap on, strap off, strap on, strap off. Punk and McIntyre.
The strapper.
What the hell did you just say?
What the fuck?
That's what I call some bad blood. If you got a strap on match, that's some bad blood there. Taylor Swift singing about bad blood.
Either way, I got them pegged. Either way, I got them pegged for a good match here.
It may be new for Disney, but not for PC Tunney.
Dave, what are your thoughts on the actual wrestling match here?
Do we have to talk about it? No, I think, yeah, I'm with DP. Punk's got to win this. Because you got to get the rubber match at Bad Blood. I think that's going to be a Hell in a Cell match. I think most of us think it's going to be a Hell in a Cell match. I don't think it's any going to be any bracelet on the pole match. Damn no it. Offense, DP. Or maybe you put the bracelet hanging from the top of the cell and...
Oh,
but no, Punk's got to win. Just a question of how you get there. You know, how does Punk get the win? I think Berlin's going to be heavily CM Punk, even though Drew McIntyre is one of their European guys. I don't think it's going to matter. I think Punk's going to get a hero's welcome. Strap match is a really interesting choice for a second match, but well, there must be something they're doing with that.
It holds off a pinfall too. Like, Punk will not get a pinfall on Drew McIntyre until the next pay-per-view. So, I mean, that extends that as well. Like, hey, still haven't pinned me, you bastard.
Right. And I don't know who wins that Hell in a Cell match. That's the third one, the tiebreaker. Yeah, I mean, you want to say Punk, but I don't know, man.
I don't think any of these European wrestlers are going to be the fan favorite for the crowd. Not even Gunther.
I think Gunther will be.
I'll bet you five doll hairs. I gotta go find a doll. We'll get to that.
Loser gets pegged. Nah, that might be a bit much.
I'm out. Me too. Yeah, it's just gonna be a good match. I don't know how much I'm in love with why a strap match has to have the four corners thing. It could just be a pinfall. Some of them have, some of them haven't. But I trust enough in Punk and McIntyre to make that ending solid.
Yeah, it's like Punk will hit three things. McIntyre will claymore him into the fourth one, and that's how Punk will win.
Yeah. That's possible. That's very, very possible. All right. My least favorite name for a duo, the Terror Twins, taking on Dirty Dom and Liv Morgan, and my even more less favorite nickname of Bonnie and Clyde, because they were murderers. But the match, I already talked about that last week. Anyway, Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, Dirty Dom, and Liv. I mean, Liv and Dom have to win, right, Dave?
No. They don't have to. No, I mean, title's not on the line. Dom can take the, huh?
Nothing's really on the line.
Nothing's really on the line. But I don't know if you want to make Rhea and Damian. I mean, if you have them go over, I'm picking the Terror Twins, whatever that fuck their name is, to win this thing. I don't know, man. I think if they lose again, especially with all the bullshit that's happened, that kind of makes them look a little bit weak. And, you know, if you're going to keep them up there in the face of these guys, I think this is a good match to do it. It's a mixed tag. Dom can eat the pin. No one's going to give a shit. Everybody's going to hate him the same no matter what. Liv's not taking the fall. I think I could see Priest pinning Dom and that sort of thing. But I like the Terror Twins in this one. I think, like, okay, you got the big one over on them at SummerSlam. This is kind of like, okay, let's give Rhea and then you stretch this thing out a little bit. That's what I think.
Do you think Rhea and Damian win here, Dan, is going to lead to another match between Rhea and Liv at Bad Blood? Maybe we have Bad Blood there. We can actually get maybe a Priest and Dom singles match. But then again, like, how many matches do they really have at these intermediate PLEs right now?
Yeah, not too many. Six at the most, really, at this point. And it feels like Damian and Dom match is shortly down the road, but feel like it's just going to be a Raw main event match type of thing or something. And I could definitely actually see Ripley getting a pin on Liv Morgan here to lead towards that title match that's coming up, because I feel like they're going to have that match is coming up as well. That could be the one at Bad Blood, however they want to do that one. You know, put Dom in a shark tank, you know, shark cage and type of thing. My favorite. And I don't know.
When did you turn into fucking Vince Russo?
I like playing that character. I think I like that character.
Bro, I'm either going to hang something, bro, or I'm going to put something in a cage, bro.
Let me tell you something, bro.
One thing I'm starting to wonder is, we know what we're getting at Survivor Series. We're getting civil blood, you know, the civil bloodline war.
Thank God.
What are we doing with the women? I mean, I'm like looking around at the landscape thinking, okay, women's war games match, where are the lines being drawn? Or, you know, Rhea and Liv on opposite sides seems like a good idea.
Do you think there's a possibility, considering the magnitude of the civil war games match, that it's the only war games match that day, that this year? No,
I don't know. I think they're doing a women's war games match. I don't think they're going to backtrack from that.
But to your point though, what is it? It feels more like a Survivor Series match than a War Games match, because there is no women's faction. Like last year, it was Damage Control, right? I mean, and right. Who did they face against? God, I don't even remember.
Isn't it like Becky and I don't remember who the fuck was. Yeah, that's how inconsequential it all was.
Do you think wasn't it Becky
and
like
Charlotte? Wasn't Charlotte in there with them and she teamed up and Bianca and
all effort? You guys keep analyzing.
You know, I could see, like, on one side, like, Liv and, you know, I don't know who else she's going to get to back up with her versus Rhea. And maybe you get Bayley, maybe get a returning Charlotte Flair in that kind of match. And you know, Rhea and Charlotte teaming up together, that's got some interesting side stories to it as well. Assuming Charlotte's coming back.
Bianca, Charlotte, Shotzi, and Becky. Actually,
yeah. Well,
oh yeah.
Yeah, Shotzi ain't going to be a part of this one, but
that's a good call.
one of my few.
Do you think it's possible?
I don't think Becky will either.
Do you think it's possible that they would do a mixed Hell in the Cell, a mixed War Games?
Here's your other four. Charlotte, Naomi, Bianca and Jade. Naomi, Bianca and Jade are already tight, right?
And then you add Charlotte to that.
Turns on them.
Are you gonna put Baszler and Stark against and Fire and Dawn or something? What, who are you gonna put together another set?
Pure fusion crap.
Yeah. When are you gonna? Oh, goody.
So So official predictions here, you both got the Terror Twins. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think I do.
Yeah, I got the Terror Twins.
I think I do. I was leaning towards Dom and Liv, but I think I'm in with Ripley getting a pinfall. Maybe she pins Dom. That'd be fun.
I don't know.
That would be cool.
I don't know.
It can happen. It's not supposed to happen, but it could happen.
She can pin me.
Yo.
All right. Two big matches here. We're going to save the Gunther Randy for last because there's no chance in hell of Cody losing to KO here, right, Dan?
Yes.
I mean, losing the title to Kevin Owens. Let me be more specific.
Yeah. 100%. There's a chance that Kevin Owens turns heel at the end of this match. That could happen, but that's about it. I think it'll be a great match. It'll be fun. It's maybe the first time we actually don't get outside interference in a Cody Rhodes title match, which would be great. And, you know, I think they're just there to put on a good show and have a really good match. You know, Kevin Owens has been, they've been doing that kind of tease, like, oh, he's accidentally been hitting Cody, and Cody's getting the doubt that, you know, maybe he's going to turn heel on him or whatever. So maybe that happens, maybe, but otherwise, no, not a chance that this title's changing hands.
Yeah, they've been teasing the shit out of Kevin Owens turning heel, haven't they? All these, all of his turning on it. They even got Chris Jericho in the Festival of Friendship and that whole thing, which surprises a lot of people.
Back. He's huh? so on his way back to the Jericho? WWE. Oh, God. Yeah. He's going to be like 6-8 months off, go on tour, leave AEW. He's coming back. He's going to announce. He's going to be an announcer. I can just feel it. 2 years, announcer. Last match at WrestleMania, Hall of Fame induction. That's all happening.
I'd be fine with all that. That'd be fine with me. But yeah, there's no chance Cody's losing the title here. The bigger question is, does KO turn heel on him at the end of this whole thing? Probably not, because everybody's expecting it. You know, it's just what they'd be expecting it. Red herring, exactly.
Yeah, KO's not turning. You got a better chance of Logan Paul and Machine Gun Kelly showing up and ruining this match and Randy Orton's opportunity.
Yeah, I want to see Randy punch Machine Gun Kelly in the face. So
it's all a work. They're going to have a tag match at whenever the KO and Orton and there's your KO turn on Orton and align with Machine Gun Kelly and Logan Paul.
That would be some ridiculous shit. But
Machine
I could
Gun
see
KO,
him
I love
that.
It. I just watched him. I just watched Machine Gun Kelly and Jackpot.
I just watched Machine Gun Kelly get powerbombed by KO off a stage.
Yeah, what I really hope for this match is that it's first and there's no interference and there's no heel turn and it's just the best possible wrestling match that Cody and KO can have in a Cody clean title defense, because that to me would be the most entertaining thing I could watch. These guys could put on a match of the year if they let them.
They could.
Absolutely.
They could. We'll get no bullshittery going on, and that would be fun.
That would be fun. All right. Randy Orton's going to win the title. Tell me why he isn't, and then I'll tell you why he will. Dave?
I don't see Gunther losing the title that quickly. I think Gunther's set up for a really long. I've told you, and I kind of told you this. I think Gunther runs with this thing. I think it's Gunther versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 41. And that's where, you know, and I don't see Gunther losing that either. So yeah, I mean, it'd be cool to see Randy pull it off and become world champion, but I just don't see it happening. I like Gunther. I don't, you know, he's been such a dominant champion. Every title reign he's ever had has been at least over a year. I don't see why this one would be different. Other than that, it's just Randy Orton, the legend that he is. So, yeah, I can't wrap my head around Orton being the champ here.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with it. I felt like, you know, Gunther had this huge Intercontinental title run. They built him up to be this dominant force. when they put the title, they put the main title on him now. And I feel like that's kind of the same thing they're going to try and do here for maybe not as long, but long enough to make him look like, you know, again, like one of the top guys that they could possibly have, you know, if he's going to beat Lesnar, if he's going to beat Orton, he's going to beat all the big guys until somebody can finally take him down. You know, he's just going to look like this giant force, this unbeatable guy that he's been and has been doing a really good job of it. Like, I would have no problem with Randy Orton winning the title. And I see there's a stipulation to this match now, too, which would make it interesting. But just,
would you like to share that stipulation with the class?
If Orton wins the championship, he goes to Raw and Gunther goes to SmackDown. Which would leave Gunther open to wrestling Cody Rhodes potentially too for the title. So,
well, now that does kind of change. That changes the dynamics. And Tutty's smiling a little bit. Yeah. Why would you have both? Having both titles on SmackDown makes no fucking sense. It's the same stupid problem that they've had for so long. So yeah, in that regard, maybe Orton winning the championship makes a lot more sense now.
Here's my couple of reasons. One, Gunther's fucking boring. Gunther can't fucking open a show and talk for more than 30 fucking seconds. He has nothing to say unless someone else is in the ring with him. I'm sorry. That's the fucking truth. He has no personality. There's nobody behind him. He sells no merch. He does nothing but go in and put on great matches, and that's fine. And be a dominant figure.
Did you just call him a charisma vacuum? Is he the modern-day Lex Luger? Oh,
those are your words that Lex Luger oversaw before he liked your fucking expos, you son of a biscuit. You know what else this does? Who's got a retirement tour in 2025?
Somebody I can't see.
John Cena. How many... How many world championships does Randy Orton have at this moment?
I think it's like six.
14?
It's 14.
Oh, damn it. That was
close.
If
Randy Orton gets to 15, you can easily sell the shit out of a number one contenders match between Cena and Orton, because we all know Cena at the least is going to have a shot at winning the 17. If you don't have Cena wrestle for a world championship in his final run, you've made a mistake. These are the reasons I would like to see this happen. And even more so, me, look at what Randy's done. This guy could have walked away. Huge, gigantic back problems. He's done everything. He's got money. He has amazing family. He is an exceptional husband and father too. He didn't need all of this. He wanted it, and he came back, and his repayment should be a 15th title win.
Those are all very good points. The setting him on Raw is setting him on Raw makes more sense.
Right, but I'll be wrong come Saturday afternoon when DJ and I review Bash in Berlin right after the show.
I am definitely on board, though, with Randy Orton getting a 15th. You know, title reign somewhere here and getting that run, because it is well deserved and he is one of the greatest of all time. Obviously we talked about it last week too. Cena is getting a title shot one way or another. Him versus Gunther as well would be really awesome, because I think that helps put a guy like Gunther over more. Not disagreeing that Gunther can't really talk, is boring as shit, and needs a mouthpiece at the very least if they're going to do that properly. Like, why not have Kaiser be his mouthpiece? That guy could talk, you know, it'd be great. He was doing it before. Would be fine. But I just, yeah, I don't know. I just don't see him losing the title just yet.
But there you have it, folks. Those are our predictions, our thoughts on the coming card here. Bash in Berlin. I'm thinking it's going to be a really good show. these matches all look like they have been well set up storyline wise. We're very interested in all five of them, as you can hear from what we're talking about. I fully expect to come on here next week and say another great PLE and a long line of PLEs besides Money in the Bank this last year.
Except for last. Yeah.
We hope. We hope it's going to be another really good one. So SummerSlam was excellent. The international ones are almost always really good.
Well, it's like when a Raw or a SmackDown or in Canada or overseas and these PLEs, like that energy from that foreign crowd is always near damn 100% of the time. The energy is so much more exceptional than it is here in the States.
Yeah. 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 I mean, they make it, and that crowd in Germany is going to be, they're going to be on fire. I mean, it's their first ever PLE. So let's go. Bash in Berlin.
That's what's so great about those is they don't get to see shows that often like this. So they're going to bring it. And that's what's so great.
Like anything that's not a big 4, 5, 6, whatever number we're on now, PLE should be an international event. Really,
and why not? Because there is a big 6, right? So why can't those 6 be here in the States, and why can't the other 6 be international? It only makes sense from a business standpoint, and American fans who watch it on television have already said we enjoy the foreign crowd, so it's a win-win for everybody throughout the entire globe.
Get at noon.
Real quick. Oh God, I'll be drunk at noon.
My man.
What's going to be the match of the night, DP, next week when we come on here?
Ooh, match of the night. I'm going to say Punk McIntyre. I think they're going to beat the ever-living shit out of each other. It's just going to be one of those that we're just going to talk about, like, man, it was just a brutal beatdown. Not the match of the night when it comes to wrestling, but match of the night as far as, like, man, they beat the shit out of each other. They put on a good show.
Dave?
Yeah, I like that call, but I'll go Gunther, Randy Orton. I think we'll get a more definitive victor this time. There won't be the questionable finish that we got at King of the Ring. So, I like that one to really tear the house down. And these two guys are going to leave it all out there and really entertain the crowd. And I'll go with Gunther and Orton as the match of the night.
I'll pretend that there won't be any interference in the Cody and KO match. That I actually get what I want. I highly doubt it, but I will always live. Booking by Tunney.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
My last call. Alcohol.
What do you mean it's last call?
What do you mean? What do I mean? It's the last thing we're going to talk about, and I promised you a Bash in Berlin sandwich with McMahon bread. Vince on the top to start the show, and on the bottom is definitely an AEW conversation that we're going to have right now. I don't know why I do this to myself.
God.
What the fuck is going on? AEW.
Anybody for penis?
Yeah, he's got it.
Anyone for penis?
Thank you,
shoot that puck up my pooper.
Yeah, that one too.
Hey, try not to shoot that puck up my pooper.
Oh, here, I got a new one for you.
Whip out everything you got and do it in the butt. By Leon Phil.
My brother's kids or something. You nerve-wracking sons of bitches.
Fucking both of you, you nerve-wracking sons of bitches.
You know you need to get DP Blazing Saddle. Excuse me while I whip this out.
Oh, damn it. Tune in next week when I whip this out.
I'm sure we'll have it. Now all they got to do is get Platt to go, hey, where are white women at? Gentlemen. The rumors, we've seen the picture of the meeting, the very bizarre John Moxley actions last night on AEW, the fact that WrestleVotes account talked about this. Do we end up with Shane McMahon in AEW, Dave?
Ooh, At this point, I'm leaning towards yes. The Moxley thing was weird. That was very, very strange. And, you know, I listen to a lot of people talk about, you know, I see stuff online, you know, AEW has All in Wembley. By and large, by every account I've read, a really good show, with the exception of like Mercedes' match, which was, you know, hailed as a piece of shit.
Finish is brutal. Her interview afterwards is so bad. Fucking cringe.
She's gone from the goat to just the sheep, you know?
I want you to continue your thought, but I have to say the same thing I've been saying. Her descent from the heights she was at when she was doing The Mandalorian and still in WWE has been just Grand Canyon jumping off the fucking cliff-esque.
It's like base jumping without a chute, you know? It's just, it's bad. But, you know, the Danielson match, I watched that. That was excellent. You know, that sort of thing. But, you know, they have this great show. They come back 691,000 for Dynamite. There's an inherent problem there. And everybody's talking about, anybody who watches AEW or follows it or even tries to support it, because it is important for it to succeed that you have an alternative out there. Whether we like it or not is almost irrelevant to the fact that I think unanimously we agree it's good for the industry as a whole if they succeed. And there's something wrong there, and it starts and ends with storylines. And
let me stop you for 1 second, because I want to clarify something. I know you're in the middle of a good point. While we come on here and tell our honest to goodness truths about how we feel about it, Dave is right. We are still rooting for AEW to get better, and we have been all along. We're just not going to sit here and lie to you people.
Right. And I think, you know, if people ask me what's wrong with it, it's like, well, the biggest problem is there's an element of their fan base that is absolutely toxic, who will tell you to your face, it does not, there's nothing wrong with AEW. The problem is you. And that's not true, because the problem is there's a lack of stories. You can't fault the in-ring stuff, but that only gets you so far. If Shane is coming in, if they're operating some sort of invasion angle, and, you know, Moxley's is part, I know exactly, they're going to reinvent this invasion angle and do it in AEW, and maybe they can do it right. I'm looking at this thinking, okay, this is a story that I've already seen done NWO. I've seen the WCW invasion in 2001, wherever it was. What's going to make this any different? You got to figure if anybody's learned from the past mistakes, it would be Shane McMahon, right? And I think maybe they're trying to run some sort of angle. But the problem is that doesn't work when half your roster is fucking leaving or trying to leave.
This shouldn't be an invasion. I'm sorry, DP. I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna be real quick. This should be a mutiny led by John Moxley, bringing in Shane McMahon to run the mutiny from within. This should be people that are in AEW that want to get behind Moxley with Shane's leadership, that's saying, these are all the things that are wrong with this company, and we are having a mutiny against Tony Khan. This should be a civil war, not an invasion.
There you go.
That would be the way to do it, because that's what I was, you know, leaning towards as well, because that's what I'm scared of. Like, oh, shit's going down. I know it'll help. Let's get Shane McMahon to come in. He knows how to do this shit. Like, come on. No. And
DP's fucking tone is,
you know, here, and you know what's gonna happen.
I mean, you're talking the best in the world, DP.
Yeah. Let's see. Let me. How great are his knees?
Fuck, you know they're gonna play that. Fuck CM Punk. We got the real best in the world right here at AEW.
Yeah.
Proven in a tournament. Perfect.
Let me see you do. Let me see you do a leapfrog, Shane. Yeah.
Without blowing your quads out. I can't wait for Shane versus Tony Khan at, like, you know, full gear or full throttle or whatever the fuck it's.
God.
That's a ride at Six Flags. Yeah, what is coming up after All Out? I think it's Full Gear.
I don't know. So it's not everybody out. Everybody World's out. End. That's what's next. All In. Now it's everybody out.
Appropriate to do it at World's End, right?
But that's, you know, and that's what I was afraid of. Like, here he comes. Shane McMahon's gonna come walking in and go, I just bought Ring of Honor, and here comes an invasion of some stupid invasion angle. And that's what it felt like it was going to be. Like, are they going to do some stupid ass invasion? It didn't work before. It's not going to work now. If you're going to learn from your fucking mistakes, then learn from them. Don't do that shit. Like, it's not good. And PC's got it. Like, if you're going to do it like, yeah, hey, our company right now is shit when it comes to storytelling, when it comes to everything else, but there's some great ringing action in there, and you got great talent. You just don't know how to use it and don't know how to make them good and better and tell a good story and have them get on the mic and actually be good. So do something like that where it goes, hey, what we're doing now doesn't fucking work, and we're going to change it. And this is, we're coming in and we're taking over, and that's what we're going to do. So I love that. I love that style. I love that chance for them to do that and do it properly and just go get, you know, storyline-esque, right? Con, you're out. We're putting Shane in charge. We got a new group, Moxley. We're going to run things now, and we're going to make shit better. I love that.
I love the idea, Tony. And I think if you're smart and you want to get viewers back and get them interested, you steer hard as you can into this skid. And you have Moxley and a couple of other people and Shane come out, and they go right after Tony Khan, and they go after him about all the shit that people like us are talking about. You fucking, and the Young Bucks, especially the Young Bucks. And then if Kenny Omega comes back, he aligns with Moxley and Shane and all those guys. And that would be pretty cool. But yeah, I think you go in and say you've ignored storylines to put over your fucking favorites. You're sucking on Dave Meltzer's dick. I would go after Meltzer with everything I fucking had and just, you know, really, and get to the point where you're like, okay, I know this is a story, but there's elements of this that I'm not so sure about. And that's what gets people involved, gets people invested, and creates compelling shit that you want to see how this all turns out.
And do it on TV, and do it live, and do it like that. Like, hey, it's a story, but it's shoot, like it's for real, but it's, you know,
it's like a work,
it's real
shoot.
Life shit, like,
yeah,
do it. That's a great way to tell it.
We're pissed. We went from a million fucking viewers to 700,000. How did we lose 400,000 people in 1 year?
We're doing a reboot.
Not just 600,000-700,000, but 607,000 on your post biggest show, Dynamite, right? So Bully Ray is always doing Busted Open After Dark after Dynamite. You know, it's a great way to get a lot of ratings, because a lot of these AEW diehards are going to want to have even more AEW discussion afterwards. And one of the things he says on X last night during Dynamite is, man, Okada is such a great sports entertainer. And I quoted and replied with, yeah, you're right. He should have went to the WWE.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to, if all you're going to do is hang out with Mercedes Moné backstage, dance and party, you could have fucking done that in WWE. I mean, I get it.
I think he's honestly, in his mind, whether he says it or not, is like, God, I made a giant fucking mistake. This is the dumbest shit I've ever fucking seen.
Arrested Development.
He's getting paid through the teeth, you know, for doing nothing.
How much money does that guy already have, though?
That's what's crazy is like those kind of guys, like, they didn't need the money. Like, why wouldn't you go to the machine that, hey, you want to be a bigger star? Like, is that what you were trying to do or whatever? Like, yeah, you go right now, you're going to AEW because they drove a dump truck full of money up to my house.
Dude, and Moxley, when he comes out and cuts his promo and he says, I was going to go on vacation, but I had to fucking come back because you fucked things up with CM Punk and drove away. And I would go there. I'd say, you drove away our biggest draw, you know, to defend fucking Jungle Boy Jack Perry and all this kind of shit. You know, you paid all these people. You paid Mercedes. You paid Will. You paid Okada. All of this fucking money. Where's my extension? Where's my contract extension? I didn't get shit. So there's things Moxley can really do, because he was the anchor. When AEW was at its highest, who was the champion? John Moxley.
I'll give you guys your last thoughts, and then I got one last thing before we get out of here. DP?
Last thoughts on that whole obnoxious shit, or just anything?
On our entire show today.
And all my shit wasn't obnoxious, DP. God, you don't got to go there.
Play a soundbite again. You pissed them off.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. That's that. You know I'm talking about AEW.
You're my best friends, too.
You know I'm talking AEW about that. You know, it's not about you.
It gets us all riled up anytime we talk about AEW. Hey, I mentioned Dynamite going to be in Milwaukee, guys. You guys going?
Yeah. Did you see my emoji that I
did.
Yeah. Who was this? Yeah,
great. I'll see you guys there.
I gave you the old Austin. You're number one, baby. Go ahead, DP.
Yeah, I just... I think I changed my tune on the women's tag match just because I feel like there has to be a title change. So I think Bianca and Jade might win it because the other two title changes aren't happening. So, I'll say there's a title change now. But other than that, just looking forward to a good another afternoon PLE because, man, I love them. So let's get up and get ready for noon and some afternoon drinking. Yeah.
We get a, my last thing, do we get anything with the bloodline? Does Roman show up or is anything with the bloodline in Germany? I mean, that'd be a big, you get a really big pop, even if it's not a match, just something to set the stage for Survivor Series. You know, that'd be kind of cool. I mean, if you only have five matches and it's like, well, that's not going to take very long.
Here's why we're not.
They couldn't get him in the country.
Because it was hard enough to get him fucking out of the country the last time. That was just Toronto.
Yeah, that's right. Germany? That was, sure. Come on that was in.
That was like we're standing in Buffalo looking north. And we're like, we just got to get 20 miles up there. Yeah, this is all the way across the country.
They'll show up and they'll be like, why does this say Auschwitz? What is going on here?
Oh, boy. All right. I suppose you have liberty there. What's your last thought, Dave?
I do wonder about, you know, where we... To have an event of this magnitude and the bloodline not involved at all seems a little bit odd. But, yeah, you bring up a good point. It is difficult to get anybody not named Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa out of the country right now. So
here's my last thought. I don't even want to see Okada or Sasha Banks in WWE ever again. That's how fucking fucked up they fucked up.
Well, you've never seen Okada in WWE in the first place, so...
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I'm your consigliere, so I've got to make sure you're being accurate in your factual citations, sir. Sasha's coming back. You know that.
If I needed you to make sure I was factual, I would have to pay you a lot of money to be on the clock 24/7, my friend.
It's pro bono. I need some pro bono stuff to satisfy the state bar's requirements. You're my pro bono client, Tony.
Well, great. I'll take it.
Write that down. PC Tony. Okay, got it.
If that is your real name. Dave, thanks for coming on the show today. Very fun show. Very informative. A lot of great opinions. A lot of great back and forth today. Make sure you tune in Saturday evening for the review of Bash in Berlin. And make sure you tune in to everything Chairshot Radio Network. Dave, let everybody know where they can find you, sir.
Oh, you can find me on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression. And at Attitude of Aggression. All one word on Instagram and Threads. And, you know, there's a campaign going on to save the Acolyte. You know, they're getting signatures for that whole thing. I think we need to start a campaign to bring Patrick O'Dowd back to Bandwagoners. Because this shit's getting ridiculous.
He's like an absentee parent, isn't he? Except he's not. In real life, that's why he's not going to be here. Because he isn't an absentee parent.
There's some chicken in the fridge, kids. Have fun. See you later.
Just eat it. I just have a case of dill, Napoleon. DP, what's going on in your neck of the woods, my friend?
You can find me all over the worldwide social media interwebs. That it's me, DPP. And you can follow this show at Podcast DWI on said X. And... Facebook.com/DWI podcast.
Follow me at PC Tony. Continue to listen to everything Chairshot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms, and thechairshot.com. Sports, entertainment, and sports entertainment. We'll see you next week. DWI 446. We did it again.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. F he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskNewPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskNewPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.